Well, how's it going today? If you have your Bibles or you have your phone with you, that works too. You know, we all got Bibles on our phones now. Whatever works comfortable for you. We're going to be looking at the title of today's message is Riding Out the Storm. And so, in life, we all go through storms. And this can relate to physical storms, but this can also relate to spiritual storms as well. But the spiritual storms is what we're going to be focusing on today. These spiritual storms that we go through, they can cause stress, they can cause grief, and they can eventually cause unbelief, as in giving up. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done. And we got one example of that in the Bible. And if you'd like to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 2. And we're going to be starting with verse 9. And the reason why I have all these scripture references and everything that we're going to be going through the Bible today is whenever I like to illustrate a point, I like to give some biblical reference to it, some biblical foundation. That way we know, okay, this is the real deal. This is God's Word supporting a good point. All right, so Job chapter 2, we're going to be starting with verse 9. All right, so just a heads up, what's going on? If you're not familiar with Job, Job's a man who God loved a lot. And Satan said, well, I'll tell you what, God, I'm sure I can make Job curse you. I can do it. He goes, hey, he's an upright man. Be at it. Just don't take his life. And so anyway, Satan came up on Job. He caused him to go through these storms in his life, all these trials, where he's taking things away little by little, whether it be his children, it was his health, it was his wealth. I mean, he had plenty of cattle and everything. And so he took it all away. And it comes down to the point to where we are in Job chapter 2, verse 9. It says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. They said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women who speak. Shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So Job's wife was at the point of saying, just throw in the towel, curse God, and die. He's like, I ain't doing it. I am not doing it. All right, So that's where we can come up with a point where we can see stress, we can see grief, and we can see unbelief giving up. Because the storm is just too powerful, it's overtaken us, and we can't handle it. And so we're going to be looking at a good illustration today about riding the storm out. And we're going to look at the storm of storms that this history of the world has ever seen. And we're going to be looking at Noah today, because Noah is the man who rode the storm out. And this is the storm that changed the face of our planet as we know it. All right, so if you want to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. And if you want to, you can go ahead and put like a little bookmark or a little marker there, or dog ear the page, or highlight it, because we're going to be spending a good part of our time in Genesis chapter 6 today, because this is going to be the illustration, this is going to be the backbone of what we're going to be looking at today. So, whenever we have storms, whenever storms come up, whenever we have stress, the first thing we like to do is we get anxious. We get panicked. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But I'm going to show you the first thing here is our first point, if you're taking notes, is to don't lose your cool. All right, we do not want to lose our cool. And we're going to illustrate this in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be starting off with verse 8 here. It says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. All right, so Noah in the Hebrew is pronounced Noach, N-O-A-C-H, which means rest. So we can take that word, our English word, put it in there, and we can say, rest found favor with God. All right, so we need to relax. We need to rest. And even Jesus, he even illustrates this point for us. in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to, go ahead. Remember, bookmark Genesis 6. But we want to go ahead and turn into Matthew 6. And we're going to be going off with Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. All right, so this is, as y'all are turning there, these words are in red. So this is, we know that Jesus is speaking to us here. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." All right, so we got to remember to stay cool. We cannot lose our cool, because Jesus is telling us here, being anxious is not going to do anything for you. It's not going to help you. It's not even going to add anything. It's not going to add any value to you. So what's the point? We cannot be anxious. All right, if we skip on down here to Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So instead of worrying first, instead of losing our cool first, let's seek God. Seek God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry, verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So it's very important to not lose our cool. We need to seek God first. We need to seek God out, seek His kingdom, seek His righteousness. And we have another illustration to go along with this point here. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 14. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 14, 22. And this is the story of Jesus walking on the water here. All right, so it says here, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came up to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples came, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Me and a friend of mine, we do like a Bible study up at work. And we'll read like one chapter a day. And anyways, we were reading this one section and it hit me. You got these 12 guys on a boat. Waves tossing back and forth. Yeah, all right, we're a little terrified, we're a little anxious, we've got water, everything, and the winds. Last thing we need is a ghost. Last thing we need is a ghost on the boat. Come on, guys. And so they see this goat. I just imagine 12 guys. I mean, just losing it. It's a ghost. But Jesus reassures them. "It's I. It's me. I got boys, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's me." So it's very important that we don't lose our cool. Remember, rest found favor with God. So also, as we go back to our man Noah in Genesis 6, he's a good man. He did some, God gave him a set of instructions. He said, "Hey, I want you to build an ark." But not only did he just give him, just tell him build an ark, he gave him a specific set of instructions. He said, "This is how I want you to make it. This is how long I want it. This is how wide. This is how high. Down to the type of wood. Everything." And we find this in Genesis chapter 14 through 21. And it says here, I'll give you some time to get there a little bit. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you're to make it. The length is supposed to be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark on its side. Make it lower, second, third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. All right, so God's telling them, I got the specific set of instructions. I need you to follow these to the T. This is what's going to make the boat float. This is what's going to make everything work. But I need you to follow this. And sometimes we as humans, we like to improvise. Well, I think I know a better way how to tweak this. I know something how to fix this. And sometimes we end up with a few extra screws, nuts, bolts, and something doesn't turn out right sometimes. It can be a disaster. Sometimes it can work, and sometimes it can't. But this is a very important vessel because it's only going to be carrying the only eight people, civilization, and the rest of our animal kingdom. So we got to follow the instructions to the T. All right. So professionals built the Titanic. Amateurs built the Ark. There's one thing about the Ark that I've noticed as well that's not included in this list of instructions here. Is it seaworthy vessels today, they have a sail, or they have a rudder, or they have oars where you can get yourself going. But the Ark was built with none of these. Alright, so Noah or none of the people in there could not control the Ark. Alright? It was in God's control. So a lot of times we need to just let go and let God. Because if we're trying to control the ark, we can't take care of the animals, right? So we need to learn to let God take care of things so that we can take care of his work, take care of his purposes and stuff. And it's very important that we follow God. It's very important that we listen to God. Because these things can cost us. Some severe, some not severe. It's just kind of a catch 20-20, but we always want to make sure that we follow God in everything that we do. Just to further prove this point here, it's very important to follow and listen to God, is we can look at Numbers chapter 20 here. And we're going to be going to Numbers chapter 20, verse 6. Alrighty. Alright, so while y'all are still turning there, I'm going to just give you a little background of what's going on. Alright, so Moses and Aaron, they are leading the Israelites through the wilderness. And so the Israelites, they're getting thirsty, they're getting hungry, getting tired, getting cranky, getting grumbling. They're saying, oh, you know, if you just left us alone in Egypt, we could have had water, we could have had food. Every time something would happen, you should have just left us there. All right, so here's what happens. So then, verse 6, then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them, and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from the Lord, before the Lord, as he had commanded him. So then in verse 10, then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Uh-oh. God gave an instruction. I want you to talk to the rock. But Moses, out of his frustration, he took that staff and whacked that sucker. Still, they got water. But verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. So, Moses and Aaron, they were leading the Israelites, were going to take into the promised land. But because of, they didn't follow God, they didn't follow the instructions. They speak to the rock, he said, they smacked that sucker. He said, you're not going to bring this assembly into the land. I'm going to have someone else do it now. I need someone that can follow. I need someone that can listen to me. It's very important that we listen to God. It's very important that we follow God. When God tells us to do something, we got to do it. Because otherwise, he's going to have to find someone else that can do the job. I need someone that can follow instructions. So Noah, he's building his ark. He's building the ark. He's getting everything, all the specifications down to a T, what God told him to do. But the next thing he needs to do, and this is the next point, is we need to be prepared for when the storms of this life come. All right, we need to be preparation. Whenever, about this time of year, a lot of people, they go into their storm cellars. They dust them out. They get everything in there. We need some bottled water. We need some batteries. We need some flashlights. They get their storm cellars ready just in case if a tornado were to come in their area, they can get in their storm cellar. They can be safe. They can have their supplies. I even seen some storm cellars where they even come with toilets. Okay, so Genesis 6:21 here. We're looking at God told Noah to do something here. He said, also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Them being the rest of the family and the animals on the ark. So Noah did this, and he did all that God commanded him. So here we go. We got Noah following God, doing all that he commanded him. So he's prepping the ark. He's getting it stocked. He's getting it ready because he's getting ready to go on a ride. He just doesn't know how big yet. But he's doing what God told him to do. I need you to get things ready. Whenever my meemaw, she had a storm cellar. And it was kind of hard for her to get down in that storm cellar. So every year I would go in there and I would make it easy. I would clean everything up. Because sometimes spiders will get in there, webs, some bugs. So I'd go in there and I'd clean everything out. I'd make sure there's some water in there for her because not all the time I'm there to help her out and everything. And also she liked to have tap lights in there. So we Velcroed some tap lights into the storm cellar and we made sure they had fresh batteries in them. And that way she gets in there, she can have a little light, she can sit there and everything. And also we had like a little radio for her. It was a hand cranked radio too. That way she didn't have to worry about batteries if they were to die. So I prepped this storm cellar for her just in case if a tornado were to come her way, she can get in there and she has everything she needs. And of course, she also had my aunt, which lived across the street, which also helped out tremendously. It was great. So when I'm talking about when you be prepared for the storms of this life, I gave you a physical example of some physical storms, but when I'm talking about spiritual storms, being prepared, as in we need to have the knowledge of the Word of God inside of us and also working in us. There's one thing to have it inside of you. Well, yeah, I know God's Word. But do you practice God's Word? There's a difference there. So we can be prepared, but we also need to be ready to use our preparedness. We need to be able to use our supplies. So a good reference for being prepared, we have Matthew 25 here. And Matthew 25, verse 1. We'll start off with verse 1. I'll give you some little time getting there. Again, these words are written in red. This is Jesus speaking to us. And he's given an example it's a parable of the 10 virgins. It's about being prepared for when the Son of Man comes. All right, so verse 1 says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. You know, so 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. So as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We need some oil. They said, no, go to the market and go buy you some oil. We only brought enough for ourselves. All right, so verse 10, and while they were going out to buy their oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him and said to the went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut tight. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Hey, let us in, we're here. They answered, truly, I said to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So we know neither the day nor the hour when we're going to have trouble, when we're going to have situations, when things are going to come up in our lives. We don't know. It could be the next hour. It could be tomorrow, next day, a month from now, a year from now. We don't know when trouble can happen. But when trouble happens, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Just like how we prepare for storms. Just how, I don't know if you see that TV show, we've got doomsday preppers. People, they prep, they dig tunnels underground and everything. They prep, they're ready. All right, we need to be as anxious as these people are. I'm not saying anxious as in a fearful way, but I'm just saying we need to be excited as these people are, to be ready, to have God's word in us, to be ready to use, because we never know when we might need to use it. Because I know, for one, I don't want to end up like one of the five that didn't have enough oil. I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. I want to have my equipment ready to go, to use. Also, this is a fun analogy that I like to use with Ground Zero, the teens. And they've heard this plenty of times, but I tell you what, this is solid gold. It's worth solid gold. All right, let's say you have a bank account. There's a bank account. It's got an enormous amount of money in it. It has your name on it, but you can't use it because you don't know it's there. You have no knowledge of this. You have no knowledge of this bank account. But the money's there for you to use whenever you come into knowledge of using it. All right, the Bible is like your bank account. All right, so we know the bank account's here. There's money in there somewhere. There's money. There's good stuff in here that we can use. But until we crack it up, until we get into it, until we start diving into God's Word, until we start taking it, start putting it, taking all this information. Oh, this is for me. Oh, that's for me. Oh, that's pertaining to me. I can use that. Until we have those revelations, until we have those awe moments, until we start spending time with God, we're not ready. We're not prepared. We need to be prepared. We need to have God's Word in us, working in us, ready to go whenever, at a moment's notice. And so that's why I like to use the analogy of the bank account. Because once you find out that money's there, once you find out that bank account's there, hey, you're golden. I had a similar situation happen to me. When I was born, my grandmother, she bought these savings bonds. I had no clue they existed. She just gave them to my parents, and they sat in a shoebox on a shelf in the closet for till I turned 24. Oh yeah, by the way, these are yours. Thanks. That's how it is. That's how it works. Until we start digging into God's Word, we can find God's information for us. We can use it. All right. So Noah, he's prepared for the storm. He's riding out the storm. The waters came. The floods rose. The fountains of the deep broke open, and he is riding that storm. And since he followed God's instructions, that boat's floating, and God's controlling it, and all Moses has to do is take care of what's on the inside. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to be the pilot or the captain. He doesn't have to steer that thing. He's just got to do God's work. Hey, you do my work, take care of things, I'm going to take care of the boat. All right, so after everything, the floods subsided, the waters went down, we come to our final point here. And we find this in Genesis chapter 8. So we're skipping 7, we're going into 8, the floods subside. And we're going in here to chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 20 here. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And then, when the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma, the Lord said to his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil. From his youth, neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. So while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.' Everything is going to go perfectly planned as normal because God said so." And so Moses offered up this sacrifice, giving thanks to God. I mean, a lot of times, we get caught in the normal flow of life. We forget to say thank you to people. We forget to give credit to people to where it's due. You know, hey, thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this, or thank you for doing this for me. Thank you, God, for getting me out of this situation, or thank you, God, for blessing me with this item so I can use it. We need to remember to be giving God thanks, because He's the one that gave you life today. He's the one that put the breath in your nostrils for you to live, to go through today. So if you want to turn your Bible, we're going to go to Isaiah 12, chapter 12. And we'll be looking at verse 1. Start with verse 1. Alrighty. So while you're turning to Isaiah chapter 12, I just want to stress the importance of giving thanks. Because whenever we stop giving thanks, we start to get in the habit of not realizing how much we need God in our lives to provide for us. Because we get into that habit of, oh, I can take care of it, I can do it on my own. Whenever it's God that's been providing the steps for you every step of the way, we can get into that pace of life. And so we need to stop, like Moses did, I mean, Noah did. Take a moment. Thank you, God. Now, he took more than a moment because he had to build an altar and everything, but still the point is we need to take time to give God his credit, give God his due. So Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let it be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." So here we have Isaiah. Give Him thanks. Shout for joy. Sing for joy. Look what He's done for you. We need to get in that mindset of what God's done for us. Hey, God's provided us a car to get here today. Hey, God's provided us a job so we can pay for everything. God provided us. We need to be thankful. Thank you, God, for doing this. As I move on to my final and last point, we're going to be going into the New Testament. We're going to be going to John 15. And this is going to be John chapter 15, verse 1. And so, after Noah and all the animals, they left the ark. You know, the ark sat on the mountains of Ararat. And so it's been there. But today, we still have an ark. It's not a physical ark. It's not an ark made up. It does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend. When we look at a vine and we look at a branch, okay, the vine provides nutrients. It provides everything to that branch. And all that branch has to do, it just has to hang there, hang out. It doesn't have to do anything. Yeah, the wind may push it around, it may rain, lightning may strike sometimes, but that branch is still there, and that branch still produces fruit. It still produces leaves. And so, and how this relates to Noah's ark is Noah, all he had to do was just follow God, be in him, prepare and take care of what God wanted him to do. And so for us, sometimes we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life today. We get caught up, we get worried, we get anxious. We got all these things we got to do, all these meetings that we got to do. But Jesus says, I want you to be a part of me, and I want you just to hang out. I want you to bear the fruit. I'm going to provide everything for you. I'm going to provide the nutrients. The nutrients to us would be, I'm going to make provisions for you. You need this, I'm going to provide it for you. You need that, I'm going to provide it for you. You need health, I'm going to provide it for you. I want you to hang out and produce fruit. I need you to do my work. Let go and let me take care of these things. Let go. Give me your burdens. I want to take care of you. So today, if you're stressed out, if you're worn down, if you feel like life is getting to you, you're just caught up in life, then I want to encourage you to come down to the altar today. Give it to God. Let go and let God.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and dark tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names. Yes, He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this building, Father God, for us to gather here to praise and worship you, to learn about you, and to hear about the great and wonderful things you've done and what you're going to do. And Father God, I pray that you take, as we leave today, that you take us safely home, that you'd bring us back safely next week, refreshed and ready to learn about you some more. I ask all these things to be done. In your name I pray. Amen.